Good evening, world. This is the podcast Ask Fast, and your host, that's Laura Cattell. Welcome back. Oh, goodness gracious. Hold on 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. I had my laptop open because I was actually working on business today. Yay! Small steps of progress. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for being here. I know I've been a little spotty lately. It's been more than a little chaotic on my end. So I'm really proud of myself that I'm podcasting as much as I am, that I'm still doing it, even in the midst of all the stuff that's going on around me. Some days are definitely easier than others. So I appreciate you being here, first off, because I know I wasn't here yesterday. And, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but yesterday was just one of those days. So, all right, we left off at Let Your Burning Desire Set the World on Fire. Sounds like a start to a Elvis Presley song. And we actually tackled an interesting topic that I didn't think we were going to tackle the last time we were here, and that was channeling and automatic writing. And I do want to point this out. We went over reincarnation when we went over manifesting change, it couldn't be easier. We went over the topic of reincarnation, and specifically the book he mentioned was The Search for Bridie Murphy. A little bit in the esoteric for some people, but keep an open mind, obviously. Because he does make a point to say that there are both examples of channeled work. Some are just rubbish. As he puts it, just because this kind of information comes from outside time and space, which is actually true of all information, doesn't mean that it's always accurate, useful, or even helpful. I've read some channeled material that was very base, degrading, and negative. So, you know, buyer beware, as it were. If you're going to go looking through that stuff, make sure you go to it with an open mind and, you know, sample from as wide a range as you can and see where you're sitting in that particular realm. I'm not going to really go over that too much more, other than to recap that essentially all the information that we get is channeled from a source outside of ourselves. Don't necessarily know what that source is because it isn't really physical. It doesn't have a molecular structure that we can measure with physical instruments. Just like the mind is also not physical. We went over that little head trip a few podcasts ago now. The brain is physical, but our mind is not. Where is the mind? How does the mind exist if it does not have a physical location? Okay. So we're going to continue on with Let Your Burning Desire Set the World on Fire today. Before I get any farther, my shout out to the restaurant industry. All my guys and gals out there in Foodland, thank you for all you do, all you've done, all your sacrifices, all the toxic coping habits that you really know you should quit and you keep doing them anyway. If you're feeling stressed out and overwhelmed, please don't do something you can't take back. Don't quit, okay? Alright, so, we're not just here to meet our needs, so that we can merely survive. The original grand wish that gave birth to time and space was not for us to have some kind of break-even experience. We're here to have fun and be happy, to thrive and grow, and these objectives can only be met by pursuing the unique passions we all individually possess. Too often it's thought that our desires are frivolous and our dreams selfish. Yet our planet is an abundant and opulent paradise, and it freely shares its treasures to those who meet it halfway, less than halfway even, with unlimited thinking, great expectations, and the simplest of actions. And the more we allow it to share with us, the more it shares with others, in an unfolding that inevitably and unfailingly far exceeds what was sought by the original dream. Our desires are gifts, not curses, and they should be honored. They're the spirit of life dancing through us, pointing us in directions that will inspire us and hinting of our true potential. Our dreams, too, are gifts, and they're far more remarkable than is ever appreciated. They're tailor-made for us based equally on what we want and what our soul craves, taking into account all we've ever done, and our leanings, inclinations, aptitudes, outlooks, and strengths, in order to grow and become more. They aren't ours so that they may elude or torment us, but because they're achievable, and because we're worthy of them. And even better than the destination they promise is the journey they inspire. Through the seas and landscapes of life, making possible endless opportunities for interactions with others, incredible coincidences, and wonderful accidents. But of course, as you already know, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. These are just occurrences orchestrated by our thoughts. Life's magic. As they juggle the players and circumstances of our life to deliver us the things we have been thinking. I love that. They aren't ours so that they may elude or torment us, but because they're achievable and because we're worthy of them. And as sad as an admission as this is, too many people out there have a very, very, very low opinion of themselves. They don't think they're worthy of this, that, or the other thing. And goodness gracious, I am so sorry. Still figuring out how to do this without having an actual office, so my apologies if there's that in the background. I am making do with what I have available. But it's sad. God, it's so sad. And I understand how we get there. And now that I'm on the other side of that, because there was a time in my life where I felt exactly the same thing, and now that I'm on this side of it, I don't even recognize myself. How it is possible to actually sit there and feel worthless? Not a good place to be sitting in. So sadly, one of the things people have to get over is to allow themselves to feel worthy, worthwhile. I deserve this. I'm worth this. Just that alone for some people. Man, it's... Man, it's heartbreaking. Okay. I just wanted to point that out real quick. And even better than the destination they promise is the journey they inspire. Yes, have the end result in mind, but appreciate the journey as much, because it's teaching you things you need to know in order to get there. It's getting you out of your shell, it's taking you different places, it's weaving your thread onto the greater tapestry of life. You go more places. You do more things. Making possible endless opportunities for interactions with others, incredible coincidences, and wonderful accidents. But of course, as you already know, there are no coincidences, and there are no accidents. It tends to take a lot, I mean, that depends on the person, to really grasp what he's saying in that moment. He said it again and extrapolated it farther in manifesting change. There cannot be accidents or unknowns in a universe of such perfect mathematical existence. It cannot happen. And he uses his car accident in Dubai. Yeah, I don't believe it was in Dubai. His car accident in Dubai, when he mathematically calculated out that if he had been a tenth of a second, either early or late, at the rate of speed that his car was traveling at and the rate of speed the other car was traveling at, the accident would not have happened at all. Which, even though it was, you know, life-affirming and, oh my god, thank god I'm alive type of a moment, it gave him a realization as to the utter perfect nature of the harmony of the universe in which we sit. The universe being all of reality, time and space, physicality as we know it, universe. And I apologize, it's very windy outside today. You wouldn't know it by the look on the sky because it's a beautiful sunny-ish day, but whee, it's windy. Careful, I want to grab onto something, it would blow you away. You cannot have accidents or coincidences in such a mathematically perfect existence. So, that which you call accidents or coincidence are really something planned out under the realms of where you can't physically see from, to mathematical precision. Based on your thoughts. That's a pretty heavy one to come to the realization of when you get really, really start like sitting down and having a conversation with yourself of what if? Well, what if this actually does make sense? What if? Let's suspend our disbelief here for a second and let's just follow the logic where it leads. Make sure you're sitting down for that one. You might surprise yourself. Alright. Dreams are selfish only if you believe in scarcity and lack. If you believe that for you to receive something, others must go without. But these kinds of beliefs are impossible when you truly understand that you are a spiritual being and that the props in your life are merely illusions. Your dreams come from the infinite, and only by pursuing them with abandon. Hold on one second. And only by pursuing them with abandon. Good grief. Sorry about that. Third time's the charm. Your dreams come from the infinite, and only by pursuing them with abandon can you give to the world all you have to give. Remaining true to your own quote-unquote selfish desires. Could Thomas Edison, for example, have tended to the downtrodden as Mother Teresa did? Could Albert Einstein have preached salvation as Dr. Martin Luther King did? Could Abraham Lincoln have built cars like Henry Ford did? You know who these people are because they followed their own unique passions, their own inborn leanings, and their own inner voices. The irony here, though, with regard to the thought that our dreams are selfish, is that the masses, sometimes even for generations, always benefit from the individual who insists on marching to the beat of his or her own drummer. or as Richard Bach phrased it in the colossal bestseller Illusions, the divinely selfish soul. Our dreams and our desires are as unique as our fingerprints, and we are endowed with them based on each of our own unique spiritual quests in life. We have different dreams for a reason, to maximize the chances of us having the kind of adventures and lessons that will enrich us the most. We're not all born wanting to be doctors. We're not all born wanting to be beautiful. And as hard as this may seem to believe, we're not all born wanting to live easy, cushy lives. No two people want the exact same things. It's like when we're choosing our vacations. Some prefer to relax and do very little, while others prefer risks and challenges to varying degrees. So, that just gives you some really good feedback there across history. And it makes a very, very excellent point. I really want to hone that point finally. Is that it is not selfish to follow your dreams. Don't listen to people who tell you it's selfish to follow your dreams. Alright. He makes a very excellent point. Alright, you know all of these people. Thomas Edison, Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King, Henry Ford, Abraham Lincoln. You know these people because they followed their own heart. You could say selfishly in a way. They followed their own passions. But the impact that they gave to the world lasts for generations. They impact millions of lives. Because in the practicing of your own thing, you invariably give it away at some point. Whether you end up teaching others, whether you end up being an example to others, and someone else follows in your footsteps. Okay, you can't take it with you. Not the money, not the house, not the cars. Not the legacy, as some people like to call it. You can't take it with you. The dreams you follow I don't want to say more often than not because that sounds chintzy. The dreams you follow selfishly with joy and with wild abandon invariably helps other people along the way. And by residing in a state of joy as you do the thing that you love doing, you are putting out there the frequency of joy, which lifts up other people's frequencies that they're emitting as you are doing it. There are many benefits. You do not have the same dreams as someone else. Your dreams are yours. Your dreams are yours to go follow. Don't be afraid to go follow them. Sorry. All right, back to the book. Our dreams have veiled, specialized agendas that inspire our journeys and yield what we really came here to get, experience, while revealing our true potential for living the life of our dreams. If written off early in life as frivolous, indulgent, or selfish, or if they're replaced with more idealized, mainstream dreams, Dreams that are not really ours, but are considered practical, safe, or proven. We only stifle our own growth and happiness. Sadly, this kind of substitution happens all the time when society, or even our own families, try to point us in the quote-unquote right directions, supposedly for our own good. And while their intentions are golden, no one can ever know you like you do. No one else can know what fulfills you or what drives you. No one else can see through your window to the divine, nor hear the instincts and impulses that are whispered in your ear. And no one except you can know what potentials and talents lie dormant inside you. To thine own self be true, as Shakespeare put it. And we'll stop there today and just recap this really quickly. And I was actually making this point, on another group that I belong to, when he sits there and says, even our family's trying to point us in the right direction. Sadly, when you're trying to start something new, or you're trying to head into a new direction, your family is the last place you want to go. Because they will either have a positive view of you, and they want to keep you safe from something, so they'll try and talk you out of it. Or they have a negative view of you, and they don't want other people to get scammed, and they'll try and talk you out of it. But 9 times out of 10, they try and talk you out of it. Usually for one of those two reasons. It's sometimes easier to work with a stranger, because a stranger is an independent party. Right? A stranger doesn't know all of the times you've tried and failed, all the hiccups, all the bumps, all the fights, all the stuff your family knows that you've done. A lot of times it's just easier to pitch to a stranger or talk to a stranger, because they can give you an unbiased opinion of where you're sitting in the situation. So I wanted to point that out. So when you have a good relationship with your family, obviously I hope everybody has a good relationship with their family, but let's be honest, there's obviously some families out there that don't. Sadly enough. But they will. They're like, this isn't safe, or that isn't safe, and we just want to make sure you're okay, and you're not taking on too much, or it's being overwhelming, and they're doing that from a place that they're trying to keep you safe. I will warn you this, alright? Your mind is not hardwired for happiness, it's hardwired for survival. It's designed to try and keep you safe. It interprets comfort as safety. All human beings will do this. All human beings. Okay? It's part of our base programming algorithm, if you want to call it that. And so it will... you have to be the director of this. You have to tell it, no, we're doing this now. I appreciate you're warning me. I understand you're doing a very valid job. Okay, it's the same impulse that, you know, keeps your hand off of the burner because you know it'll be hot, and hot hurts. Ow. You know, you learn that when you're a kid. It's the same impulse, so don't get angry at it. Just, you gotta manage it. You gotta manage it like a puppy. Like, no, we're doing this now. Because it's going to bring up so many things to try and get you to stay in that comfort zone. Alright? And it might seem like I went a little off topic here, but your family is also other human beings that are trying to operate with from within their comfort zone, and they might not be aware of the same things that you're aware of. Like the conversation that we're having right now. They might think things differently. They might not. You can't control how they think. Unfortunately. No, I'm kidding. Alright. So, your subconscious will try and keep you in comfort, because to it, comfort means safety. And safety means you're not out there being chased by lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Okay? You have to actively train it. There's a good term. Train it. You have to actively train it. No. Just be patient. No, we're gonna do this now. I know you're scared. That's okay. I'll be perfectly fine. I want to go learn and fail and learn and fail and learn and fail and do this for a little while until I get it down and I get it right. Thank you for your input. I'm going to go do this now. And as silly as that sounds, it works. Treat your own emotional responses as a child that needs an adult hand in whatever it is that they're doing, and you're being the mature one. No, we're gonna go do this now. It doesn't work like immediately on the first try, but 2, 3, 5, and eventually it starts to get easier and you start to get better and you start to shift a little bit. And once your subconscious is used to doing the new thing, it stops having that reaction. You just have to build up that little bit of confidence. Oh goodness, excuse me. You just have to build up that little bit of confidence, and then the flutters start going away. Okay. Once your subconscious is satisfied that the activity that you're going to get into, one, you're not going to listen to it anyways, two, it's probably not going to hurt you, it shuts up. Okay. Which is also why there's that wonderful phrase of work in silence. Only talk to people once you've achieved success. Whatever it is you're going for, whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to go build a business, whatever it is you're trying to do, talk to strangers in the field that it is that you're trying to do, right? If you want to lose weight, you go to somebody that's not a family member and, you know, maybe it's a personal trainer, maybe it's a dietitian, maybe it's someone that's had a weight loss story that really inspires you, but do it in silence. Same thing with building a business or becoming an entrepreneur or other things. Find people that you're going into that will help you. But I will tell you this from personal experience. Don't tell your family until you are already successful. Because they will lovingly try and talk you out of it. Sorry about that. Anyway, so that's my little bits of advice there for today. Okay. And I also wanted to point out this last one little bit. Alright. No one else knows you better than you. You are the only person that has been with you your whole life. You have listened to every single nasty thing you've said about yourself, to yourself, about other people, behind their back, everything. You. Only you are aware of your own perspectives. Only you are aware of how you took this person's word, that person's actions, this person's absence. You are the only person you cannot escape, and you are always listening to yourself. Make sure you are telling yourself good things, because you are listening. All right, we've gone over this. A simple little exercise everybody can do is to just simply observe your thoughts. Oh yeah, I need to go grocery shopping. Ooh, there was that fun new show I wanted to watch on Tuesday nights. I wonder if I should go get a car wash. Okay? Just observe your thoughts. And after about 30 seconds of observing, it's more than enough. Ask yourself this question. If you are your thoughts, then who is the one doing the observing? And if you are not your thoughts, then who is it that is making the thoughts, and who is it that is doing the observing? You are not your thoughts. You are the one doing the observing. And I know that might have sounded like I went off on a tangent, but it bears a point. The dreams you have are for you alone, based on every beautifully unique experience that you have had up until this point. They won't work for someone else, they will only work for you. It is not selfish for you to go after them. It is not selfish for you to have them. It is selfish for you to not go after them. Because your dreams come from somewhere else. They are there for you to follow. They are the possible endings. And in the journey can lead you to an even more amazing ending than the initial dream would provided. Sorry, had provided. Don't be afraid to follow your dreams. Please. Learn to be beautifully selfish. Divinely selfish, as Richard Bach put it. In pursuit of making yourself better, taking care of yourself, showing love to yourself, following pursuits that you love doing, and by so doing, shining joy out to everyone you meet. Go follow your dreams. Alright. Tomorrow, we will come back with Getting Back on Track. Talking about the midstream of life. Or midstream in life, I should say. We will come back tomorrow. Alrighty. So, go ahead and get in. Go ahead and get in a little wiggle and do a little stretch, and we will get in our 2 minute brain break. Take a nice, slow, deep breath in. And let it back out. And let's take another slow, deep breath in. And let it back out. And just let your awareness settle into the space. Just doing a quick one today. Nothing fancy. Just an escape. That's all you need to do. You'd be amazed how much more calm you feel. I mean, well, I'm hoping you feel more calm after we do our 2 minute brain breaks. It doesn't take much. You don't have to do much. If all you do is just lightly focus on your breathing. And that's it. It's not complicated. Imagery is nice. It doesn't have to be complicated. They're only now discovering just how important breath work is to activating certain things within the body. It's really fascinating. Alright, guys. Don't be afraid to follow your dreams. I know you've got one. I know you've got one you've hidden away and you think it's silly and you think no one else will understand. Why are you worried about other people when it comes to your dreams? Don't be. Because the reality is you can't make everyone happy and you're not gonna. So if you're already not going to make some people happy, why are you worried about if any of them are happy? Make you happy. You just might find that it wasn't so silly after all. Alright, I will see you guys back here tomorrow with getting back on track. How appropriate. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for continuing to listen to me. I really genuinely appreciate it. So you guys have a fantastic rest of your evening. This is the podcast Sassafras. Good night.